We should to be able to get, I'm going to be able to get seven. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, I'm calling the meeting to order at 7:30 p.m. It's the regular meeting of the Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission, January 14th, 2026. And I'm appointing Joshua Lloyd for Jim Cropley.
Sorry, who? Can you just repeat that? And can
I'm not very good at faces. Eric?
Eric.
Yes. Okay, I'm mixing him up. Okay, Eric.
No worries.
No. Okay, so we've got and I still need someone. Okay, I'm appointing Rhea Klein for Jim Cropley.
Okay.
And Peyton Rutledge for Arlene Fiano. Okay, approval of minutes.
So before we go further, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
We do have a new recording secretary, Rebecca Lyon, who's on the call here. And just so she can see whose names belong to who, if you could just have everybody give their name and whether they're a commissioner or an alternate, just so she has an idea, that would be great. You could start, Tom, wherever you want.
Hi, Rebecca. My name is Rhea Klein, and I'm an alternate.
Rebecca,
but you have to face the owl. No, just face the owl.
Yeah, just look
face.
At, just look at this.
Oh, okay.
You could just sit wherever you are. Just face the owl. The owl will pick you up.
Can you see me? Because I can't see up there. Okay.
Yep, we can see you.
Okay, Rhea Klein.
Rebecca, I'm Peyton Rutledge, and I'm also an alternate.
And I'm Ellen King.
Marilee Manning.
Tom Manning, member.
Hi, Rebecca. I'm Kwan Gordon, also a member.
And I'm Eric Loveland, also a member.
Thank you.
Thank you. If I might ask for people to say their names when they're making a motion just for the first meeting or two so I can get names down accurately, I would really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
All right, approval of minutes of the December 10th meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the December 10th, 2025 meeting minutes with one correction to the spelling of Peyton's first name. It is incorrect. It'd be E is an echo. Y-T-O-N.
Thank you. Anyone else? Is there a second?
I'll second that. Ellen King.
Motion, Kwan Gordon, second Ellen King. Are there any other comments? Any other comments? All right, then I'll take a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, it's 7-0-0. Residence forum. I see Jim Lursch in the online. Did you have anything you wanted to say to us, Jim?
I'm all set. Thank you.
Okay. staff reports. And I understand that Mike may or may not be with us later.
Right. So it was the end of the year. So a couple things happen at the end of the year, the holidays, obviously, and all of the meetings have their final meeting of the year. So I attended a lot of meetings, CROG, Brownfield Steering Committee, Advanced CT Partners Committee meeting, CROG Priority Pathways Committee meeting, which they are finalizing a report after doing a survey, which I know there were several people from the town of Bolton who took. CROG Transportation Committee meeting, Connecticut CTCMA quarterly meeting. That meeting was also focused on the housing bill. In addition to that, I did the annual review of the town's hazard mitigation plan and submitted that, prepared the budget for Connecticut's countryside and the economic development budget. Had inquiries, not a lot, but a few inquiries on Hebron Road, Brandy Street, Boston Turnpike. We've been in continuing talks with the gentleman who came before you informally regarding the couple of properties as he moves forward. We've provided him with actually some affordable housing contacts for his list, and he was grateful for that. We have been answering inquiries on Notch Road, One Notch Road, which is now for sale. That was the Bill Phillips property that was approved. It's an industrial property that was approved for basically road construction, bins and storage of materials and that sort of thing. Also, with regard to that property, we've had a discussion with Asplund. They wanted to remove a bunch of trees that were being kept for screening. So we told them that they could not remove the trees, but if they wished to come and trim the trees, that would be okay. They told us that this was not a tree trimming expedition. This was a cutting expedition. So they would have to think about what they want to do. So if you happen to see blue flags around the trees down in front of that property, he's supposed to be removing them. And the reason I know all about this, as soon as the blue flags went up, we got calls from the neighborhood. So
are these big trees?
Yeah, they're arborvitae. They're probably 20 feet, 15, 20 feet high. They go up to the bottom of the utility lines. And they're, if you're looking at the site where the driveway is, where the gate going in is, they're to the right.
I'm sorry, do we have town tree warden or something like that?
Yeah, we do.
And what does that individual think about this?
The trees have to stay for screening purposes because it's an industrial site and okay. You've got residences across the street.
Yeah.
If I did tell Asplund, if they wish to remove the trees and they wanted to replace them, they could do that. And of course, they're not going to do that. But, you know, I can't have them doing that and then putting the owner at risk for losing his screening.
Okay, so thank you.
They're perfectly fine to trim. Trimming would not interrupt the screening. So the other thing I was asked about, and Quan, you just, maybe you're a soothsayer or something. I'm not really sure. But after I got your question, I got an email from the first selectman regarding the interchange for 384 Route 6 and Route 44, which is the Bolton Notch interchange. They are actually going to be having a meeting on January 27th this month at 6 o'clock p.m. And the first thing on the agenda is going to be an overview of a proposal for the interchange for Bolton Notch. CROG is coming with that proposal. And I assume they're going to present it and take questions and what have you. So anybody who would like to come to that, that's probably where you're going to get your best information about what's going on there. But for years, we've been trying to design or do something different with that intersection so you don't have to go east to go west and cross over from Bolton Notch Road, two lanes to get to 44, et cetera. So they have been looking at it at the town's request. They actually looked at it when the last Board of Selectmen was there, and whatever they had proposed, the Board of Selectmen basically said no to it. So it seemed like it was sort of a dead thing at this point. But that meeting on January 27th, which I believe is a Tuesday at 6 o'clock PM, would be, you can attend in virtually, or you can attend the meeting in person. So
and that's here.
Yes, at the town hall. Correct. Okay. So I was right. There has been no funding assigned or engineering assigned to it. That's not happened. Anything that's been done is basically creative work. You know, it's not engineered at this point. They're not going to spend any money unless there's some sort of agreement on what to spend money on. So, and since the last time they came back with something, I guess, and the board wasn't happy about it, we sort of thought they kind of went away a little bit, but we're back. So.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I had a question about one of the groups. I think I know most of the ones that you mentioned, but I'm not familiar with what Advanced CT Partners does.
So Advanced CT Partners is the economic development arm of the state, and they allow towns to have a representative as one of the partners. So it's when those meetings happen, it's typically the economic development director. It's either Anthony speaking to us, or I'm not going to remember his name. It just fell out of my head, who reports to the governor, but they usually give an update on what the state is doing and what kind of programs are out there. They give updates on things like their site selector information, talk about programs they're running and things like that. It's just an economic development connection to the state.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
Is there another coffee and conversation tomorrow?
Tomorrow at 10 at the Senior Citizens.
There's a Zoom link too.
Yep, just confirming.
Did anything come up under old business?
I don't really have anything under old business, except that you will notice that the bottom of the stack in front of you, there is an outline about affordable housing. It was requested at the last meeting for just an update. It goes through the statute and sort of addresses the statute. I thought this might be interesting for you all to take a look at, just sort of ahead of what we may be doing. Some of this may not even apply after the new housing bill takes effect, but this is what's in place now. And this is what allows for, you know, somebody, a developer to come in and avoid zoning, basically.
And the individual that came to us last time was proposing an 830G
correct
development.
Right.
And when does the new when does the latest bill go into effect? Latest act go into effect?
There are different timelines for different things that happen with the bill. The first timeline that I know of is July, I believe, where there has to be the regional planning agencies, all of them in the state, have to be providing something to the state. And I'm not even sure what that is. We have a meeting coming up on all of this on the 22nd, I think it is. So I'll know more after that date. They're still trying to decipher the bill. So we'll see what happens. The manager's meeting that I went to in December, which was focused on that, they're all confused as well. So it's going to be an interesting journey. Let's just say that.
Okay, so you might have more to talk to us about under staff reports at the next
in February.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but I would think but possibly not ready for a formal presentation. If people are still working, if still people are still working on it.
Probably not, but if there's anything that we need to be involved with, that definitely I will bring that forward so we can do whatever we need to do.
Okay.
What is that meeting that is on the 22nd?
It's a meeting for planners and staff of to go through the housing bill. I don't know if they have an agenda or not, quite honestly. I don't know if I can put my hands on it right immediately here. It's a morning, a full morning of going through the bill, and it's being led by the regional planning agencies because they're the ones that are going to have to do the work, and they're going to need help from towns and stuff and such. So,
That's going to be a CROG thing.
CROG's part of it, I believe. I think it's the
Over.
actual planners that are the Connecticut chapter of APA is running it, but
Okay.
it's a CROG will be involved along with NECOG, all of the
Okay.
all of them.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Under new business, we need to appoint a representative and an alternate to the Capital Region of Council of Governments Planning Commission, Regional Planning Commission. And it's 4 meetings, usually 4 meetings a year. They've been on a Thursday, have three on Thursday, and then one on a Wednesday or some other day. And it gives a chance to p have people like me who have a regular Thursday appointment. I always go to the Planning Commission, but so is there anyone who would be interested in doing that?
It's in the evening.
It's in it's yeah it's 7 o'clock, and one of the advantages is they start it with an education a 1 hour educational session. So if you go to all the meetings, you get your 4 hours in that are required by a statute for commissioners.
So
Any
I have.
anybody and what I do is I have Patrice give you that information so that even if you're not going to be on the RPC, you can attend it virtually and get the credits.
That's great. Thank you.
So two things that with this. The last form we sent in was for 2024, and I have Tom Manning was the appointee, and the alternate was Jim Cropley. And the website says it's every other month, but I know that's not true. I think it's what you said, Tom, quarterly. Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And they have not set the meeting. I thought that we'd set the meeting schedule at the
Yeah.
last meeting in November, but they hadn't.
I didn't see it either, and I asked Jacob about it. As part of this, I'm going to be giving all of your emails to CROG, and they will be if unless you don't want me to, but they're going to use that email to provide any educational opportunities that may come up that they can send you directly to.
Okay.
And also, I get regular notices of available grants, which I pass on to the town administrator and first selectman. And I have been serving as the representative. And I will be happy to do it again, happy to continue to do it if you're willing.
Just anybody can attend the meeting, even if you're not
Anybody, yeah.
the representative, right? It's a public meeting.
That's right, it's a public meeting.
I nominate Tom Manning to be our next representative to CROG.
Nomination,
Marilee, you mean
Marilee
Marilee
Manning.
Manning.
Second time.
What does the planning commission do? Do you mind just a quick overview?
Well, there's certain things that I think that staff usually takes care of it, but there are certain things that the local planning and zoning commissions have to pass through the regional planning commission to see whether they are conform with the regional plan, because there is a regional plan of development, and they also have transportation plans and other things. But and so staff reviews them, they make comments, and then the regional planning commission approves them.
We're in the Hartford region, and so we have compatriots. I think that goes small town wise out through Marlborough and Hebron. But then we have Glastonbury on this side and all of like Hartford, West Hartford, Simsbury, I
It
believe, Farmington
goes up to Stafford now.
goes up to Stafford. Does it go to Enfield? Okay.
Yes.
So we're in it's a huge with a lot of big cities, you know, it's a huge region and a couple of little towns.
And so in addition to the educational session, there might also be some information about the different kinds of plans that they're having. For instance, transportation is big. Housing is big. Recently, we had a presentation on third places, which is this idea of where do you go when you don't want to be at home and you don't want to be at work, like bars and theaters and how those work inside the community. So it's really a little outside the lane of the strictly planning, but it does, it's something that would have a big effect on the way that the region might have a big effect on the way that the region works.
The representative also votes on the changes to regulations that come in that are required. So, for example, when we decide to send our we're done with the sign regulations and we want to go to public hearing, I will send them to the Capital Region Council of Governments for review, and then the Regional Planning Commission will look at those, right, Tom? And don't you isn't there a
Yes.
there's a vote on that, and then there's a comment period for 30 days, and then there's a vote on that, and then once that vote takes place, that comes back to us to tell us either they approved it or they didn't and why. And sometimes they come up with comments about, you know, like maybe you should, you know, we like what you did. It might help if you did this or you did that. It's not often, but that does happen from time to time.
Through all code changes, or part of the zoning code goes through them.
Right. All regulation changes.
I think the meetings are always in West Hartford.
They used to be in West Hartford, now it's all virtual.
Oh, okay.
Not all of the COGs, the Councils of Government, have a commission like this. Sometimes it's just done by the staff, but this one continues to be active. And one of the things that that I find interesting and sometimes beneficial is that there's something called In My Town, and you just share what it is you're doing, and so you get all these different approaches to development that the other towns are trying out. So that, and you also find out, what kind of applications they're getting. And for us, that's been pretty much nothing recently,
Might change.
but it might change. So there's for a relatively small amount of time, you get a lot of information about what's going on.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. Thank you for all that context.
Right. And we have a vote. If only have one nomination, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is 700. And we will not appoint Jim Cropley in absentia. We'll ask him first. Take it up at the next meeting.
And anybody else, of course, who's interested.
And anybody else who's interested.
Yeah, I'll do it if he's not interested in doing it again.
Okay. All right. Ongoing discussion.
You want to take the alternate appointment up in February?
Yes.
Okay.
Ongoing discussion, Bolton subdivision and zoning regulations. And they were working on signs.
And you guys had homework.
Which I did not do.
Was that to look at signs?
No, well, no, it was to look at the regulation in total and just make sure that it's something we're ready to go to hearing with, or you needed or wanted any tweaks to it. Mike and I have gone through it, and you know, here, I guess I should explain this for the people who are new to, when it goes to public hearing, the public can come in and comment on it. From those comments, or even from your own viewing it again, you can make small amendments to what was presented at public hearing. And you can't make wholesale changes completely. You'd have to stop the hearing and restart it again with a new application. But you can do small tweaks or remove a word here or there, as long as you're not changing the general meaning. So it may be good enough to go to hearing now. And then if we have to make any amendments based on public comment or based on anything else, we can do that. If people want more time to review it more, it's up to you, whatever you guys want to do.
I had an issue. I'm not aware, maybe I missed something in this, but is there any kind of restriction regarding the brightness, I guess would be what, lumens? That you measure of signs. In other words, you may have a sign that's in the right place and the right size, but if it's not brightly lit enough, it's still not a very good, it's not very good, especially at night. Is there such a restriction?
A requirement for illumination?
Well, no, not requiring that everything be illuminated, but if it is lit, should it be within a certain standard, you know, if there's anything that's...
So typically it goes the other way. You know, you try to have lights shine down on a sign so you're not reflecting light up into the sky with regard to keeping with dark skies regulations.
I was aware of that, yep.
You're trying not to make something so illuminated that it's distracting to a driver.
Right.
So I'm not sure there's any, I know we can go in if something is too bright, we can go in and say, you know, you need to turn the lights down or you need to do something like that because it's too distracting. But I don't think there's anything that says to turn it up.
I see. Okay.
Okay, so
this is the wording thing. What does home occupation mean? Like a sign for home occupation? What would be an example of that?
There are some home occupations that are permitted. You can carry on a business, but it's usually limited as to how many people can come and see you, what kind of parking's associated. So if you have a home occupation, you can advertise for it, you know, have your shingle out front, but I think it's pretty limited, just so people can find it. It's not intended as a Really, really is advertising. It's more wayfinding.
So just also maybe this helps merely the sign lighting requirement is that all signs shall meet the outdoor lighting requirements of our current regulations, which is section 450-3.20.
Okay. Okay. I'll have to look that up. We had some option. The way this started out, we had some options of how to approach a simplified signage regulations. And we liked these that that Mike had developed and taught. And so we used them as used those as a basis for developing new sign regulations for Bolton. And we've been through it all, and it looks to me like it's ready to go to a public hearing, but not everyone may be are familiar with this. So this is a if there's if anything any questions like home occupation, what is halo lettering and so on. What is halo lighting, for instance? You might know. There's internal, indirect channel, and halo.
And the roof signs are limited.
So as I remember, channel is individual letters. Each letter is individually illuminated.
Yes. I'm sorry, Tom. I didn't realize you were actually asking me. I thought you were explaining it. Sorry.
halo is when you have individual letters, but the light is behind them. Internal, of course, is where you'd have a panel, and then the light is inside, so you're not looking directly at a lamp. And then there's indirect, would be, you'd have some lights coming over and shining down on the side. And usually, and those are the kind that are preferred because precisely for because of dark skies, as opposed to a ground mount, which might and you can do dark skies with ground mounts too, but
So halo, let me just correct you, actually is
okay.
It's like glowing outline. So it puts the light source behind the objects and it looks like it's floating kind of in the dark.
Patrice, could you just maybe walk us through, especially for those of us who are new, like what it looks like when someone applies for a sign? I mean, I know
Sure.
It says like application requirements here, but can you just kind of walk through the whole process just to help me understand?
Sure. So signs for the most part are staff review and approval. There are some situations which you'll see where the commission would be the permit approver. So roof signs, some secondary wall signs. Typically the signs are approved with, so if you have a commercial project, the signs will be put separately as part of the application, but separately, and the commission decides whether the staff's going to do it or not. But it's a simple application where they give us the sign, the details for the sign, where the sign is going, excuse me, and we then calculate. Well, they're supposed to give us calculations that show that they meet the requirements, and for it, it's pretty much a simple zoning permit for the most part, as long as they meet the requirements, obviously.
Okay. And if it does have to come to the commission, does that look any different?
So if it comes to the commission, then it is an application, usually part of or separate site plan application for lighting for a site. unless it's part, like I said, of the commercial application initially. Sometimes they don't know what they're going to do for signs, so they do them separate. And they're not required to have public hearings. It's just a commission review and approval.
Okay. Okay, thank you. That's helpful. Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons that we were considering changing the regulations was that under the old ones, it was almost impossible to calculate.
Yeah, seems like a good reason. And so, Patrice, I think you also kind of touched on this, but like if we send it to public hearings, then the next step after that is for it to go to the CROG Regional Planning Commission for their approval?
No, the only time anything gets sent to CROG is a regulation amendment.
Oh, a regulation amendment.
No,
okay,
no
application. Okay.
No applications.
Okay, so this just public hearing and then that's it.
Yeah, typically you wouldn't have a public hearing for a sign application. Special permits.
I mean like these regulations, like once we...
You mean to adopt them?
To adopt them, yeah. Yes.
Oh, that is a public hearing, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking about a sign application. You mean the public
hearing? No. Sorry. I meant this whole sort of everything that we're talking about. Yeah, if we want to adopt these, send them to public hearing, is that the end?
So the steps will be, if you decide tonight, we're ready for public hearing, okay? And I need 30 days, so wherever that puts us out, if it's past the next meeting, then we would have it in March. These would get sent to Capital Region Council of Government for their review for their 30 days. I would advertise in the newspaper a legal notice for the public hearing. We'd hold the public hearing. Public is eligible to come in and make comments and ask for changes and whatever. The commission can do the same if they feel it's necessary. Once the public hearing closes, we would make a decision on passing the regulations as is, passing the regulation with amendments, and then you would choose also an effective date for when the regulation goes into effect. A legal notice is then published about your decision. The regulations go to the town clerk and they go up on the website upon effective. That's the whole process.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have another question. It might be a stupid question. Is there anything changing in here that would impact like current signs or anything existing? Does that get sort of grandfathered in if there are changes?
Current signs are pretty much always grandfathered as long as the sign is not removed completely.
Okay.
So for example, if you've driven anywhere sometimes and you'll see a sign where it's been turned backwards, so you're seeing just a white thing, but there used to be a sign there. They're preserving that space for a future sign in case regulations change.
Okay.
So it's same thing here. If you need to renovate your sign for some reason, or you need to repaint it, or you need to fix it, you can do that in kind. And if the regulation has now allowed for a larger sign, you can replace your sign with a larger sign. But yes, signs in particular are pretty much pre-existing non-conforming type situations unless they're completely removed.
Thank you.
All right, then I'm going to offer a motion. I move that.
Are you counting days? So 30 days from now is after our February meeting. So
that's March.
So if you want to send this to hearing, our hearing and our meeting in March is the 11th.
So would we have a public hearing either before or after our regular meeting?
We usually set it 7:30,
mm-hmm.
But then we start the meeting, and then we recess it for the public hearing.
Okay,
and then we start it,
and then we come back into session once the public hearing is done.
Do people come to public hearings?
Not many. Well,
depends on what the subject is.
It depends. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure it does depend.
Okay. I think there will be, if they regard them as onerous, there will be some interest among the businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll, you know, they'll, someone will find out, even if we didn't do any special outreach, which we might do anyway, just if we just put a public notice in, oh, we've got new sign regulations. Oh, somebody will pick it up and they'll start spreading the news. So it usually, as long as things are going well, if everything looks okay, people prefer to stay home. But if there's a problem, people will come out, and they do.
And we don't know. I mean, because these are not all that different than what we have now. So
I don't think they're more constraining. Let's say that. I think they're probably they're a little easier to use, which was the goal. And I don't think they restrain anybody from doing anything. The one thing I can think of that we don't allow right now, but we're going to allow in this regulation, is the canopy signs. So, you know, the people who own the canopies are probably going to be happy about that. And I don't have any idea about the people who don't own the canopies, but that's really, if you think about it, that's probably the only real major change.
Perhaps those businesses may opt to put up a canopy.
Mostly they're for gas stations.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about like awnings and things of that nature.
Yeah, awnings are different. Awnings are not canopies.
Okay, I make a motion. The Article 18 signage be moved to public hearing at 7:30 p.m. on March 11th, 2026, in person at Bolton Town Hall, 222 Bolton Center Road, or virtual.
I second the motion. Merrily Manning.
Motion Manning, second Manning. Is there any further discussion?
Just one more thing. The renumbering, I mean, there's just a note that says this can probably happen after the commission's decision. Is that like a strong probably?
Like yeah, they will. Okay. Once we pass it, then we know what is changing. Yeah. Or not, the codification people will take it and work it into the code.
Perfect. Just the probably was throwing me a little.
Yeah, sorry.
I'll take a voice vote on this one. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And the chair votes aye. That's 700. All right. Now we've been taking the lead from staff on revisions to regulations. Were there other sections that other sections of the regulations that staff is recommending changes to?
I'm going to say yes, but I was not really prepared to do that. I sort of thought we were going to go through these tonight, so I wasn't really thinking we were going to have time for that, but I'll be prepared with Mike in February.
Okay.
Maybe what I'll do is we'll put together something ahead of time and send it out so people can get a chance to sort of look at it ahead of time and come with their thoughts on it. And I just, for the people who are newer, the newer commissioners, we codified everything. And there were changes made before that was done, but we decided that we would go back through afterwards and look at the things that cause us issues or things like the sign regulations. I mean, the reason this happened mainly was we had an application and three people tried to figure out the sign dimensions, and three of us came up with three different figures. So we knew it was time to do something different. So it's things like that where, we'll find something that obviously could be addressed that would just make it easier on the applicant and the commission and the staff. And there's just a few of those things. Zoning regulations, they have been evolving since here. I guess I think it was the late 50s when zoning came into effect. So, some of these are original zoning regulations from the 50s. So they have been amended a few times, but still every now and then it's good to do that.
Does the CROG ever make any recommendations like, hey, we're seeing lots of updates to this type of zoning regulation. Maybe it would be a good idea to take a look at those or anything like that.
Unless they're doing it at the Regional Planning Commission, no. Because each town has the ability to do their own zoning and subdivision regulations so they can do what they feel best for their town.
But I believe there is a lot of communication with towns of a size, right? Talking to each other about the issues that are common to them. I mean, with some things, Hartford is not exactly the one we want to talk to for advice because their issues are different.
You're right, Marilee, but sometimes Hartford's come up with an idea that actually might be useful for us or vice versa. So, and one of those things that actually happened recently in their parking requirement stuff, they've decided to back down on the parking requirements and they sort of took their cue a little bit from some of us little rural towns who don't require as much parking because we just don't have the space. And so that's kind of where that started. And then they took it all the way.
Well, parking is an issue because all that paving tends to create heat islands. And so the idea is to look at it again and see what's really needed and not to require so much, not to require so much parking. And we had actually done this, I think before Patrice joined us, to get a more rational requirements for the number of parking spaces.
And then we did some impervious calculations and allowances as well.
Oh, nice.
Is there any correspondence other than the
just the Capital Region Council correspondence and the correspondence about the meeting with regard to the intersection? That was all I had.
Has there been any interest from the owners of the drive-in or cider mill about?
I could tell you about that a little bit. I've not heard back. We've not heard anything from the drive-in property. I don't know if they have been to the Bolton Lakes Regional Water Pollution Control Authority. That's sort of where they were trying to get some of their answers. So I'm not sure how far they've gotten there. On the cider mill property, however, by the next meeting, more than likely, we will have or should have some sort of proposal of either start of a design, start of regulations, or what have you for that property. The people who are doing the study and the work have been in touch with us a couple times, and they've actually been in touch. They met with the owner of the property too, which was part of the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping to see something actually within the next couple of weeks.
Good. But should we reach out to the owner? I know that we've probably done that so many times, but should we reach out a little bit to the owner of the drive-in?
To just check in, you mean?
To make sure that they're aware of all the recent changes which may affect their property.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know what changes would be affecting what they've got that in their proposal. So.
Are they proposing housing?
Yes. Oh, they're aware of the housing bill. That's what you're talking about. They weren't necessarily proposing affordable housing. So I don't know if that's what's going to
going to drive them. The cider mill property will have probably a housing affordable component. It won't be all affordable housing. And then the one up on Route 44, who the man who came in to talk with you all, that the way he was talking, that would be a complete affordable housing project.
Could someone give like a, I don't know, 5-sentence summary of what is happening with the cider mill property? I feel like I know like bits and pieces, but also feeling kind of like I'm coming in halfway through.
So it has a long history well before me. And I don't really know that history as well. I know that since COVID, well, I should say this, the same person we're dealing with now has owned it for a long time. I'm not sure how long, but quite a long time. And he was part of the original part of whatever happened there. Since COVID, the way people do business and what businesses are looking for has changed. So it was a business development, I believe, for the most part, originally. So now he has moved to a housing type development. I tried to put it up on Site Selector for him. They accepted it, but there was never anything that got done. Yeah, I don't think there were ever any offers or anything from that came from that. So when Krog said they were going to look at 4 projects in the region, I put this project, Cider Mill, and the drive-in property both in for hopefully they would pick one of them. And they picked the Cider Mill. And so at that point, they had a meeting with the town. We exchanged all the information we have on the site. And actually, there's quite a bit of it because the gentleman who owns it had done environmental review team reports. There were deep hole tests and soil tests and all kinds. So there's a lot of information actually for the property. And they're pretty much after they met with us, then they started developing the strategy, and that's kind of where we are at this point. The hope is that there will be an acceptable strategy. He'll be able to market the property, and somebody will come in and actually do the development if he doesn't do it on his own. He's eager. He's eager to either do it or sell it to somebody who will do it. So I'm hoping something happens.
Regional development. Stuff was that a grant or something for what you said it was submitted to the region for development?
No, it was just a call for projects that they were willing to. They were trying to use. They were looking for 4 very different projects to sort of use as a pilot, and ours was chosen, I think, in part because there's no sewer or there's no yeah, well, there's sewer sort of, but there's no water to it, so it's septic and well. And that was one of the reasons, you know, they've chosen 4 pieces that are very different in size, very different in topography, very different in how they're served by utilities. So they're trying to create sort of a pilot of what could be done on properties like these and use it as an example to start. So we benefit from that. It's not a grant, but we benefit actually a lot for that.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, looks like we'll be able to end before 9. Is there anybody wants to stay longer and talk about anything
else? Can I ask a really quick question? I just came up yesterday because my wife was telling me she's on the ZBA, and she was just expressing that there's some properties that, and they had a variance that they passed, but they that are like very narrow. Well, anyway, I don't really want to get into it, but is there any feedback between them and us in terms of like opportunities for improving the zoning regulations or anything like that? Because this one place, it's full of variances because of that situation, and I'm just like all of the properties on that road, apparently all have variances for that reason, and I didn't know if that was something that like they should be feeding back to us so that we can consider making some changes
like basically, like she was saying, you know, maybe once it's a certain size, maybe it should be a percentage thing or something. Like, but I just meant more in general, is there any sort of feedback or conversation between us and the ZBA about things they're hearing about those ways?
Not usually.
No.
And
They operate completely autonomous. So the zoning regulations are the zoning regulations. And if it's a smaller lot or a lot, those typically are around the lake and they're small because that's how they were originally created. And the zoning regulations are there a lot of times to protect the lake. So you don't want allowing a lot more development around the lake or, you know, things that are going to necessarily erode into the lake. So that's zoning regulations are written for that particular zone in that particular way. So when people come in and buy a lot with a house on it, you know what you're getting. I've got a house, I've got this, that, and the other thing. I know where my lot lines are. I know how big my lot is. I know if I want to put a pool in or something that I may or may not have room to do that. So if they don't have room to do it and they really want to do it, then they can try to get a variance. 90% of the variances that are applied for basically are have no hardship. Just because you want a pool does not mean you have a hardship. So it variances are granted and not granted for differing reasons, but the strict interpretation of the law is unless you have some kind of variant hardship with regard to topography of the property or something, it just because your neighbor has one does not a hardship. Monetary can never be a hardship. But you buy the property knowing what you have. That's the whole idea behind why people aren't supposed to be getting variances in certain areas of town based on zoning. So
In
and
spite of what the real estate agent says.
Well, it's funny because sometimes people are smart and they'll call the planning office before they or the building office before they buy a piece of property or they buy a house, and they ask the thing, I'd like to do this, that, and the other thing. If I buy this house, can I do that? And we'll give them an honest answer, and basically the answer is based on today's zoning. Yes, you could do X, Y, and Z. So realtors have gotten a little smarter recently, and they do tell people to come in and talk to our office, which I think helps in the long run, everybody involved. It's what we're here for. Does that
There
answer your
was
question? Sorry, Eric. Or, not Eric.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah,
I think for the most part, I think they're, I mean, this was actually, I don't think it was by the lake, but that it was really just to understand, like, I don't know how, if we needed to, if there was something like in a particular area of town that was, constantly coming up or something like that, we might need to look at.
We might need to review.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, are there? And that was kind of why I asked the question, like, are there, like, does how does that information, how would that information even get to us? I guess is, and maybe it's just two citizens, like, bringing it to you guys or something, but.
The minutes. I guess they meet and they have meetings and they have minutes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think that, like, Therese was saying, they're pretty independent, so. I was, maybe I was taking the wrong approach saying, like, is that the right angle to take, is like understand the things they keep hearing, but maybe it's more just like, if there is some like weird pieces of property where they're like so narrow that, the frontage requirements don't actually make sense or something, something like
Well,
that.
there was a recent example, and it came to us because Maura Silverstein, who was on the ZBA, had an interest in, and the person who had the problem was a firefighter, and he wanted to add a story to his house because his family was growing, and the problem was.
It was an old
It
house.
was an old house, old lot, and it was non-conforming with respect to one of the property lines. And the zoning regulation said you couldn't build up because you were, and basically what we did was after thinking about that case, we changed the law generally for everybody. And basically it says that you can go up as long as you don't go out.
Right. The law was saying that if you went up, you would be increasing the non-conformity, basically.
Right.
And we actually had, as staff had talked about that and allowing people to go out on the same line, even though it might be over the setback or whatever. So the up was sort of the compromise to allow for a second story, as long as you're staying within the footprint of the house. So, and funny thing is, he decided to sell his house and didn't even take on the project afterwards. But it's a good regulation to have, I think, and
it
can quell some of what's going on. The other thing I'll say about variances, if there are towns, and we were one of them, that maybe meet the ZBA meets once or twice a year, meaning they have one or two applications for variances. The moment people start realizing that the ZBA is in there and they're signing off on anything they want, they start applying in droves. So it just depends on what's going on with the ZBAs. And oftentimes it's not, you know, to do some of the regulations to allow what these people are trying to do is not for the good of the rest of the town, because you can't just increase it for that lot or for whatever. That's what the variance is for. When we pass a regulation, it takes account into that whole zone, all the houses, all the businesses or whatever that is in that zone. So.
Makes sense. And in some respects, some of the neighboring towns, if there's a zone that is getting changed.
We have to notify.
Yeah, notification.
Well, Jim's not here, so I'm looking to Kawan.
So go ahead and make a motion to close the January 14th, 2026 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
I'll second.
Rhea Klein seconds. Motion Gordon, second Klein. All in favor say aye.
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 And the meeting is adjourned at 8:32 p.m.
There's